Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about mindfulness meditation, the fundamentals of setting up a mindfulness practice. Mindfulness is a term that's been used a lot in the last few decades, and you've probably heard it in the popular culture. But what you probably don't really know is how to actually practice mindfulness effectively, and also the profound effects it can have on your personal development and your success and happiness levels in life. So here what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about what mindfulness actually is. I'm going to define it for you. I'm going to talk about the benefits of mindfulness to your personal development, and I'm going to give you the 20% of the mindfulness theory that's going to produce 80% of all the results that you want from this practice. All right, this is going to be a very how-to kind of guide, so let's get started. Basically, mindfulness, from what I've been learning over the last couple of years, all the different personal development research that I've done, I think mindfulness is the number one, maybe the number two, most important skill that you can develop in your entire life to be happy and to be very effective as a human being. And what's really shameful is that we're not taught this skill at all in school or in college. Our parents don't know about it. Our friends don't know about it. Nobody teaches this to us, but it's one of the most important skills of being a human being. So very powerful, very important tool for self-actualization work. I want to give a credit here to Shinzen Young, who's done decades of research and study and theory building, putting together a very robust and complex and technical mindfulness system. So some of the ideas I'm presenting to you here come directly from him, and I'm using his mindfulness system, but I'm just taking the very basics that I think are the most important. So we're going to whittle it down, and I want to give a credit to him because he's done some amazing work and stuff that is really worth taking a look at as you get deeper and deeper into this practice. See, the thing with mindfulness is that it's a very deep tradition. It's over 2,000 years old, really starts with the Buddha, goes all the way back to the Buddha. And there's a lot of different traditions of how to practice mindfulness. And here, I'm going to give you something that's going to be very, very practical and very effective and also very basic and simple. But before we talk about how to do mindfulness, let's talk a little bit about what mindfulness is. What the hell is mindfulness? This word mindful, to be mindful, what does it really mean? Well, it might mean something in the kind of common parlance, but here we're using it in a very kind of technical sense. What I mean by mindfulness is the following thing. I don't just mean some vague spiritual term. I don't just mean being present and in the moment. What I mean is experiencing reality literally, exactly as it is. That's my definition of mindfulness. To experience reality literally, exactly as it is. I don't know if you've noticed, but you are living in a reality of some kind. It's a mysterious thing, really, this reality that we live in. But one thing that you should start to notice about it is that it comes to you through your senses. And basically, it doesn't come to you through any other means. All you've really got is you've got sight, you've got sound, you've got body sensations and feelings, you've got emotions, you've got thoughts. All of these are like sensory channels through which you're receiving stuff. You've got also smell, you've got taste, just these very basic things. And through these channels, you get reality. And that's as real as reality gets for you. That's all you really have of reality is the stuff that you're actually experiencing right now, this very moment. Right now, whatever is happening to you is what's real, and it's changing every single second. Now, this is very different than the way that most people live through life. We tell ourselves like, oh yeah, of course, this is obvious, Leo, so obvious it doesn't even need to be said. It's so stupidly simple. But actually, no, see, you live most of your life not understanding that these channels are functioning every single second and stuff is changing and they're feeding you raw information. You don't really live on that raw information. What you live on is you live on your fantasies, because your mind filters out 99.9% of all of this raw information and you're completely out of touch with it. And instead, what you do is you use your prefrontal cortex to imagine fantasies of the future, or you think about things that happened to you in the past, or you have some sort of emotional reactions that you get caught up in, or you have some sort of plans and goals for the future, for your business, for your family, for your relationships, and so on and so forth. And you're basically caught up in a conceptual life, and you're not very grounded in what's actually most real about reality, which is the actual raw data that's being fed to you. So what mindfulness is about is putting you back in touch with what's really literally there. Not what you're imagining, not what you're judging, not what you're afraid of, not what happened to you 10 years ago or what's going to happen to you tomorrow, but what's really true right this very second. So that's the big picture definition. Now, there's three components of mindfulness that are very important, and this will help to explain what mindfulness is in more detail. The three components are, number one is focus. Focus is your ability to put your attention selectively on certain sensations within your awareness. Right now, you have probably at least 100 different sensations bombarding your mind and body right this very second, from the sensations in your feet to the beating of your heart to the pumping of your lungs to maybe a thought to a sensation of hunger to a discomfort in the way that you're sitting or standing to the sounds that you're hearing to the taste in your mouth to the smells that are around you. All of this stuff is bombarding your mind. The question is, what are you focused on? Are you able to selectively put your attention on one thing and keep it there for a long period of time without getting distracted? This is the skill of focus. And this is a very rare skill these days because we live in a very oversaturated environment where everything is asking for our attention. And we're constantly multitasking. And we're watching TV and texting and emailing and our kids are calling us and our spouse is calling us and all of this kind of stuff is happening. So our information channels are completely bombarded and we're always distracted. It's hard for us to even sit down and read a book for 10 minutes straight without diverting our focus elsewhere because we're just not used to focusing for any long period of time. And here, I mean, it's like a pathetic, it's like we can hardly focus for just a couple of minutes. So that's a very powerful skill to develop because your ability to focus is directly correlated to how successful you're going to be in business and in your career and in your creative pursuits. The second component is sensory clarity. Sensory clarity is how clear are you about the raw data that's actually being perceived by your mind. Like I said, your mind filters out a lot of it. And usually we just assume that we understand, we experience reality exactly kind of how it is. We assume that we know and we're aware of what's going on. But as you practice more mindfulness, you learn that, oh no, actually I'm not nearly as aware as I thought I was. Sensory clarity, imagine if you had a lens on a really professional grade digital camera. You bought an expensive multi-$1,000 lens, really beautiful, perfect optics, well-engineered, but then it got some mud and some stains on the lens. And it's like, it's really dirty, really muddy. And now you're trying to take photographs through this dirty, cloudy lens. How good is the picture going to be? It's not going to be very clear, right? But imagine you don't really understand that there is dirt on the lens. You're not aware of this. You think that that's the way the lens is supposed to be. Well, you're going to go through life looking at life and thinking that you have a clear picture of life, but actually you're going to have a murky picture, a muddy picture, an unclear picture of life. So this component here is also a skill that can be developed called sensory clarity. You can actually clear the lenses of your mind, so to speak, so that you can experience what's actually occurring for you right now in this very moment with orders of magnitude of more clarity than you presently do. And the third and final component is equanimity. Equanimity is a really powerful skill as well. It's the ability to experience an emotion or a sensation or any phenomena, basically, and not be affected by it and not react to it in an emotional way. So usually what happens is we get a piece of bad news, like we're fired from our job, or we think that our boyfriend or girlfriend is going to leave us or something like this, and it disturbs us emotionally. That's a phenomenon that we receive. It's actually a sensation we receive. We hear it or we see it. But that's not all. What happens immediately after that is that we go into reaction mode. We're not stable and grounded about that sensory experience, but we're all over the place, right? We get angry, we get frustrated, we get fearful, we get jealous, and so on and so forth. So equanimity is your ability to stay grounded and icy no matter what kind of emotions or sensations are being experienced by you. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, it doesn't affect you at all. So these three components, if you can develop all of them and you're practicing all of them simultaneously, then basically you're practicing mindfulness. And what's really powerful is that mindfulness, imagine mindfulness as you looking through a microscope. Now, when you look through a microscope with a very low magnification setting, such as 2x magnification, it's cool. And you might see some new stuff there in the lens, but you don't see that much cool new stuff. But then you increase the magnification to 10x. And now all of a sudden you can see some more stuff. You can see little particles of dust and little hairs and stuff that you didn't see before. But now when you start to increase it to 100x and 1000x, now you start to see some really freaky things. Now you get to see like bacteria and little organisms with 100 feet swimming around. It's like a whole new world that you're looking at. And if you take a microscope with a 100,000x resolution and you take a look and you look at that that world, you go even past the bacteria. You can even go into like looking at the structure of cells and even further down at like the structure of molecules. So the same thing is basically possible with your mind. And most people cannot believe that such a thing is possible. And it really does become not just you becoming a little bit more clear about reality. It's like you see a whole new world when you practice mindfulness for a sufficiently long period of time. You start to see a whole new world out there, even though nothing has really changed. But because your senses are now so much more attuned, they're not just 5x more attuned or 10x. No, you develop 1,000x or 10,000x or 100,000x more mindfulness. And that's when some really powerful shit goes down. But to get there, you need to learn how to start with the basics. So let's start you with the basics. Here's how you actually practice mindfulness. You do it in cycles. These are going to be 10-second cycles, roughly. Here's how it's going to work. There's basically three main modes through which you experience things. We're going to call it seeing, hearing, and feeling. You can see with your eyes, you can hear with your ears, you can feel with your body. So let's actually teach you the technique by actually having you do it. All right? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to find an object somewhere around you in this room that you're sitting in, maybe a lamp or a pen or a chair, or maybe you're looking out the window, you can see a tree, something static that's not going to move and run away from you, right? So go ahead and select an object. A lamp would be a good example. That's what I'm going to use here. So look at that lamp and just notice the fact that you are looking at some kind of object. It's a lamp in this case. So just the first thing you're going to do is you're going to note it. Note for noticing, right? You're going to note. And note is just something you do. It just takes a split second to do it in your mind. You just note the fact that, oh yeah, I'm looking at an object. So that's the first step. The second step is that you're going to label this thing that you're looking at. And the label is going to be a silent label that you're going to say to yourself in your internal dialogue. And in this case, the label is going to be not lamp, it's going to be the label C, S-E-E, as in you're seeing it with your eye, right? We're going to be labeling based on the channel that we're looking at it through or that we're hearing it through. So here's going to be seeing. So look at the lamp right now, and just in your internal dialogue, give it a label C. Just to register the fact that you're seeing it and you're perceiving it through your vision. Okay? So do that right now. Should just take you 1 second. Okay, good. And now the final step in the cycle is you're going to look at that lamp and you're going to savor it. You're going to take in the raw perceptions that are there. The colors, the shape of the lamp. You're going to take that in exactly as it is right now in the present moment. And you're going to do that for about 5 to 7 seconds. All right? So before I have you do this, let me just clarify what I mean. We're not talking about whether you think the lamp is beautiful or ugly. That's a judgment. We're not talking about the story behind the lamp. Where did you buy the lamp? Did you buy the lamp at IKEA? We don't care about that. That's not what you're actually seeing of the lamp, right? We're only concerned about what's actually literally right there. And we're not concerned about, you know, is the lamp working or not working? Is it on or off? It doesn't matter. We just care about what's actually right there in our vision. Okay, so when I say go, you're going to look at that lamp and you're just going to savor and take in for 5 to 7 seconds all the colors and shapes of the lamp. All right, ready? Go. Okay, good. Very, very basic. So what you just did right there is you completed one mindfulness cycle. It's about a 10-second cycle. First, you note. Second, you label. And third, you just savor what's actually there. That's it. Very, very simple. Now, that was seeing. We also have the channel of hearing. So let's do this again, but now we're going to do it with the hearing channel. When you're hearing a sound, and I'm going to just generate a sound for us here, which is just going to be a clap sound like this. Okay? So when you hear a sound, you're going to, again, go through this three-step process. You're going to note it, label it, and then you're going to savor it. Now, with a sound, it's a little bit trickier because sounds often are not continuous and long. They don't stay. They come and go real quickly. So in the case of this clap, it's just maybe a quarter of a second that you hear it. So how do you savor a sound? Well, if it's a short little sound like a clap, what you're going to do is first you're just going to note the fact that there was something there. Then you're going to go and you're going to label it and you're going to say hear. H-E-A-R. That's the label, hear, because you're hearing it. And then what you're going to do is you're going to savor whatever memory there you have. Usually you have a pretty good short-term memory, so you'll be able to remember what the sound sounded like for a good 5 to 10 seconds pretty easily, right? And you just savor as best as you can whatever memory of it you have. Ideally, you would do this in real time with a more continuous sound, like let's say you're listening to some birds chirping continuously, or you're listening to an air conditioning system humming, and you've got a continuous sound. So you can practice with those. Those might be a little easier for you. But right now, we're going to do this with a clap, all right? So I'm going to do this clap, and you're going to do the whole cycle. You're going to note it, you're going to label it here, and then you're going to savor it for 5 to 7 seconds. And I'm going to do this with you, all right? So ready? On go, you're going to do this. Go. Okay, good. I did that too. So that was the hearing channel. And now let's do the final third channel, which is feeling. Feeling are the sensations that are happening in your body. There's a lot of them right now that you're probably not even conscious of. For example, let's take the feeling of either your butt sitting on the seat that you're sitting on, or if you're standing, then the pressure on your feet. So either the pressure on your butt or the pressure on your feet. So let's take that as our object. And what we're going to do is we're going to notice it. We're going to put our attention. To notice basically just means to put your attention on that thing, right? Because your attention could be wandering all over the place. So just put your attention on the pressure on your feet or your butt. Then you're going to label it. You're going to label it feel, F-E-E-L, right? Because you're feeling this. So you're going to label it feel. And then you're going to take 5 to 7 seconds to savor it, literally as it is. I don't care if you like the sensation or you don't like the sensation, or if it's painful, or if it's beautiful, or if it's pleasant, or if you want to keep it, or if you want to lose it, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Your judgments don't matter. Literally just what's there. So I'm going to give you 5 to 7 seconds right now to do this whole cycle. And I'm going to do it myself with my feet, because I'm standing and I have some pressure in my feet. That's a little bit uncomfortable. All right, ready? Go. Okay, good. So there we did seeing, hearing, and feeling. And what we also did here, what I want you to notice, is I want to introduce this distinction of outer and inner. So what we did is we focused on all the outer sensations, outer seeing, outer hearing, and outer feeling. Now let's contrast this with the inner sensations. You should notice that not only can you see stuff on the outside in the physical world, so to speak, but you can also see stuff on the inside in your mind's eye or in your imagination. You can also hear stuff out in the physical world, like you can hear birds chirping. That would be an outer hearing. Or you can hear stuff on the inside, which would be basically the hearing of your internal dialogue. Or, for example, if you have a tune playing in your mind, like some catchy radio song, that would be you hearing internally. And then finally, the last distinction is the feeling, right? So you can feel stuff. And this is a little bit tricky here. It's a little bit counterintuitive. What we're going to call inner feeling is not what you probably think. So what we mean by outer feeling is basically all the sensations in your body, even the stuff that's like on the inside, like your heartbeat or an itch in your body somewhere. We're going to consider all of that outer feeling. What we mean by inner feeling is going to be emotions. So if you have an emotion coursing through your body, and emotions are quite distinct from something like an itch or pressure on your feet or, a pain in your back. Those are not emotions. By emotions, what I mean are stuff like fear, anger, sadness, jealousy, loneliness, depression, frustration. It can also be positive emotions like happiness, excitement, and so forth. So when you have that's what we're going to call inner feeling. And these are somewhat arbitrary distinctions, right? There's nothing set in stone here. These are not like distinctions handed down to us from God. We just created these distinctions ourselves. This is like a system. This is a system we created to help our mind become more aware of what's actually happening in reality. So one thing you should have already started to notice as you were doing these three cycles with seeing, hearing, and feeling, what you probably notice is that your mind now is getting a little bit more attuned because you're forcing it to focus on a specific sensation, and then you're forcing yourself to actually savor the raw data that's there for you, independent of your judgments about it, which is very different than the way that you normally run through life. Normally, the way you run through life is you are running around judging stuff and thinking about stuff. And you're probably ignoring what's literally right there under your nose. So already you're probably noticing that your awareness is expanding. You're becoming more attuned to the present moment and to what's literally there right in front of you. And this is all that mindfulness is designed to do. It might seem very simple and basic and innocent. And you might wonder, like, well, Leo, I mean, this is so obvious. And you're telling me that if I do this for long enough periods of time, that somehow I'm going to get these really positive, powerful personal development benefits? And yes, you will. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But for now, just kind of trust me on it that you will. What's going to happen is you're going to create a snowball effect. And as you practice this mindfulness more and more and more, you're going to get better and better and better at it. And then you will have some extraordinary shifts in awareness and in consciousness. So right now, let's have you practice on the inner channels. So let's start with inner seeing. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine a big, juicy red apple in your mind's eye. Just imagine it. Now keep that image in your mind, big, juicy red apple, and now we're going to run a cycle on it, all right? So you're going to note it, you're going to label it, see, and then you're going to savor it for 5 to 7 seconds, whatever is there. Don't worry if you don't have a perfect photographic image of an apple. Nobody does. The image is going to be kind of faint and murky. Whatever you've got of it is exactly what it is, all right? So just do this the best you can. I'm going to do it too. Ready? Go. Okay, good. So already I was noticing, just even in the middle of that exercise, I was noticing myself becoming more conscious, becoming more aware. Okay, good. Now let's do a cycle on inner hearing. What I want you to do for this exercise is I want you to say a short phrase to yourself in your internal dialogue. And your phrase will be, let's say, I have to do the laundry. That's your phrase. I have to do the laundry. So what you're going to do is you're going to repeat that phrase several times in your mind as you're doing this cycle, one cycle. Right? So you're just going to say in your mind silently, I have to do the laundry. I have to do the laundry. I have to do the laundry. And just notice it, label it here, H-E-A-R, here, because you're hearing it. And then just savor that, whatever it is, however it sounds in your mind, savor it for 5 to 7 seconds. All right? I'm going to do it too. Ready? Go. Okay, good. So that was inner hearing. And finally, let's do inner feeling. Now, inner feeling is a little tricky because remember, we're talking about emotions. And right now, if you're sitting here just listening to me, you're probably relaxed and you probably don't have a lot of emotions coursing through your body. But nevertheless, there's some kind of emotional baseline that you're at, even if you're just in a restful state. You might just label that emotion as a restful. So what we're going to have you do is we're going to have you just look inside your body in a second here and look for any emotions that are there, fear, anger, sadness, happiness, joy, exhilaration, restful state, any of that. You look for whatever is there emotionally and you just notice it. You label it. You're going to label it feel because you're feeling it. And then you're going to savor whatever it is for 5 to 7 seconds. And I'm going to do this too. All right, ready? Go. Okay, good. I actually noticed a little bit of a little bit of kind of nervousness feeling, I guess, because I'm shooting this live right now. and I want to make a good recording. So probably a little bit of nervousness in my body. And so I just became more aware of that by stopping and actually noticing it. And I wasn't really aware of it until I stopped. Okay, good. So there you have it. That's basically the whole mindfulness system that you need to know right now. This right here, this much theory will get you 80% of all your results. All right? There's really six things you need to worry about. Outer seeing, outer hearing, and outer feeling, inner feeling. You might wonder about, for example, smell and taste. What about those? Actually, we're going to call those outer feelings as well. So just to make a really simple system, if you're being mindful of something that you're tasting or smelling, we're going to call that feel, and we're going to label it feel. And really, we're only using three labels here. When you're labeling, you're not going to be concerned about whether it's outer or inner. The labels are just going to be those basic three. All right? So that's it. Now you might wonder, how do you actually use this to practice mindfulness? How do you set up a mindfulness practice? So here it is. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to get a timer, set it for 20 minutes. Every single day, you're going to sit down in a quiet place, and you're going to calm your mind down for a minute. And then what you're going to do is you're going to start running these cycles. And you're going to let your mind just kind of focus on whatever it wants to focus on. Could be a sight, could be a sound, could be a thought, could be an image, could be a feeling, could be an emotion, whatever's going on for you, whatever's most salient to you. You're going to let your mind focus on it. Then you're going to notice it. You're going to note it. You're going to label it, and you're going to savor it for 5 to 7 seconds. The whole cycle should take you about 10 seconds, right? And then you're going to finish that one cycle. And then what will happen is your mind will wander off onto some other phenomena. And then you're going to do another 10-second cycle. And then another 10-second cycle. And so on and so forth for the entire 20 minutes. If your mind starts to wander away and totally get lost in stories, just bring it right back, get back on track, and just note, label, and then savor for 5 to 7 seconds. That's it. That's your entire practice. Now, what you could do, if you want to get a little bit more advanced, is you can limit the range of what you will let your mind focus on. So, for example, the most basic practice that you allow the range to be everything. It could be sights and sounds and feelings outside or inside. But then as you get a little bit more advanced, you can limit to, for example, just sights or just sounds or just feelings or just the inner or just the outer or both the inner sounds and the outer sounds or just thoughts. And thoughts are inner sounds plus inner images. So you can kind of play around with the range and you can limit those. On certain days, you might just want to do sounds. On other days, you might just want to do sights and so on. But I really like the one where you just allow everything, because then you can just kind of let your mind loose and just see where it goes and wherever it takes you. And there's nothing that you can do really wrong. So those are the really fundamental basics. Now, let me give you a couple of pointers and answer some commonly asked questions about this. So what will happen to you as you start doing this mindfulness is that two phenomena will come up simultaneously. In fact, you could have five phenomena come up simultaneously, right? You might be sitting there and you notice that there's an itch in your foot and also a sound in your mind, like the word itch in your mind and also an itch in your foot. So which phenomena do you focus on? Which one do you run the cycle on? And the answer is that basically, for the very starter, very basic mindfulness practice, you just select anyone you want. Usually, whatever is most salient and drawing the most of your attention, just focus on that. So if the itch is really itching, focus on the itch in your foot. Or if the word itch in your mind is the thing that's really prominent, focus on that. So you just focus on one. The next question that people might ask is, what happens if I'm observing a phenomenon and I'm trying to run the cycle, but then the phenomenon disappears? So for example, there's a bird chirping outside and I'm listening to this bird and I'm trying to savor the sound of the bird, but then the bird stops. What do I do? Well, you just notice that it stopped And you can also just savor the memory of it that you have. It's pretty good to notice as things stop and at the end. In fact, you can use a special label for that, and the label for that could be gone. So you're listening to a sound, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. Okay, cool. It's gone. Noted as being gone. Actually, you can savor the goneness of it. The fact that the chirping stopped, you can actually be mindful of it. All like, oh, it's actually gone. I'm aware that it's gone. Oh, that's cool. And you just savor that for 5 seconds, and then you move on to the next thing. Pretty simple. The next question that people have is, what happens if the phenomena changes? So, for example, let's say that I'm feeling some emotion in my stomach, and then as I'm trying to savor it and really focus on it and be mindful of it, it morphs from a sharp kind of a pain to like kind of a numbness or kind of a warm, tingly sensation. What do I do? Well, just stay with it and notice what happens to it. So it's true that we're not taking static snapshots of life here. Life is a fluid, dynamic thing, and things are always flowing. This especially is obvious when you're focusing on your thoughts, or if you're focusing on sounds, or if you're focusing on body sensations. Those tend to flow and morph and change. That's okay. So whatever you focused on to start with, whatever it morphs into, just stay with it and just observe the fact that, oh yeah, it did change. That's kind of cool. I'm aware of the fact that it morphed and changed. No problem. Another common problem that you'll run into when you first start is you'll put your focus on something, let's say some kind of vague sensation in your body, or maybe an image in your mind or a thought in your mind. And then you'll wonder, like, well, what is that? I don't really know what that is. Like, I have some kind of weird tingly sensation in my chest. I don't really know. Is that my heart? Or is that fear? What is that? I don't really know what it is. That's okay. A lot of stuff at first when you start, you're not really going to be sure of. So you're allowed to guess, and you don't need to be 100% accurate with your labeling. And it's even okay if you miscategorize something. For example, if you have some kind of feeling in your chest and you're not sure if it's fear or if it's just a physical pain, just go with your best guess. And what'll happen is that over time, as you practice mindfulness for weeks at a time, you will get better and better, and then you will not have these doubts anymore. Another question is, what happens if the phenomena comes up too fast? For example, let's say we're listening to a machine gun firing, and it's just like a rapid fire of like, right? So there's a lot of little individual sounds of each bullet firing, but they're happening really, really fast. So what do I do in this case? Well, one thing you can do is you can just average them out as they're happening. If they're happening continuously, you can just kind of average them out and just focus on the average of what was happening there. The other thing you can do is you can just take the memory of it that you have. So let's say it's firing, and then it stops. You can just take that last shot of, and just recall that, and savor it, and be mindful of that. Another common concern you'll probably have if you sit there labeling a lot is you'll start to notice that labeling itself is an inner hearing sensation, because you're using your internal dialogue to say hear, see, feel, and so on. So when you notice this, the question is, should you then label the labels themselves? And the answer is no. The labeling and the savoring, this is a tool that you're using to become more aware, right? We don't want to go all crazy complicated and start analyzing the tool and start being mindful of the tool and mindful of the mindful of the tool and mindful of the mindful of the mindful of the tool. We don't need to go there, right? Just keep it very simple. Put all your attention on everything but the labels and everything but the process that you're using. So it's okay. You're going to have plenty of stuff to be mindful of without being mindful of the labels themselves. So those are the most common concerns. Now, what I really encourage you to do as a tip this is a tip here, really important, is to do this practice daily. 20 minutes is recommended every single day. And if you want to get better faster, then you can increase to 60 minutes or maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, then get to up to 60 minutes per day. Do it daily without any excuses, without skipping any days ever, without skipping weekends, without vacations, without holidays, because these are all going to be excuses that will ruin your practice. So you want to start very consistently with no excuses. It really takes time and momentum to build up a solid mindfulness practice. You're not going to do it in just 1 week. This is really a practice that you do over the course of months and years. Might sound kind of like a bore, like another thing you have to do, but trust me, it's really going to be worth it. It's really going to be worth it for you. And one thing that I recommend if you really want to supercharge your mindfulness is take a mindfulness retreat. Really common ones and really great ones are called Vipassana retreats, Vipassana meditation retreats. There's a lot of them. You can take them for free. Some of them are paid, but a lot of them are free. They're basically held all over the world in every country. So you can look them up online or wherever and take one of these retreats. These retreats are powerful because what a retreat is usually is just 5 or 7 or 10 days of complete silence. These are silent retreats. There's no talking. And you basically just spend 12 hours a day practicing mindfulness, day after day after day after day. And what this does is this gets you a lot of progress really, really quickly. So the progress that you will make in 1 year of 20 minutes every day, you can probably get that much progress in a single week at a retreat. And the ideal is that you do both. You should have a mindfulness practice outside of retreats daily. And then, of course, you should take 1 or 2 retreats per year to really supercharge yourself and learn more advanced techniques. What I taught you here is a very basic form of mindfulness. It's very powerful. It can take you very, very far. You don't need the fancy stuff, but there's also more fancy elements that you can go learn at these retreats. And the last thing I'll say about my tips here is that you might have an objection or a question like, well, Leo, you've released a lot of videos about different meditation techniques. You've talked about letting thoughts go. You've talked about the do nothing technique. You've talked about strong determination sitting where I just sit there motionless. With all these techniques, and now you're talking about this mindfulness technique where I'm labeling stuff very rigorously. So which technique should I use? Which is like the best technique? And my answer here is that there is no best technique. All of these techniques are good. All these techniques, in fact, are great techniques, very powerful techniques. And I think you should experiment with them. If you are a student of raising your consciousness and you really want to self-actualize, what I recommend you do for the long run is test out each of these techniques. Test it out for a month. Test it out for 3 months. Just see which ones you like, which ones you don't like. You're probably going to have favorites. But also don't worry too much because even the ones that are not favorites of yours, they're still very powerful and very effective. There's no like best technique. All right, so don't get caught in that trap. All right, so that's it. You know how to do the practice. The hardest thing now is, are you actually going to do it? It's so simple. It's so stupidly simple that most people fail right here. They know now how it works, but then they don't actually set up and discipline themselves to create the habit they need to do on a daily basis. You need to develop this habit. Like I said at the very beginning, this is probably the most important skill you can develop as a human being because this is how you interface with reality. Can you understand this? That this is the interface between you and reality, is your senses. If you're not mindful of what you're perceiving, you're basically not mindful of reality and you're living in some fantasy land. You're living in story land. You're living in your imagination. You need to start to understand and to see reality for what it literally is. Not what your parents told you about it, not what your preacher told you about it, not what you read in a book, not what some scientist told you, but what's actually happening right fucking now in your experience. You need to get the skill to see that. And you need to improve and cultivate this skill over your entire lifetime. This is really not an optional thing if you want to have a powerful life. In fact, what I want to end on is I want to tell you some of the really powerful benefits you'll get if you discipline yourself to create this habit of mindfulness. Here are the benefits you can get. You're going to build enormous levels of awareness and focus and consciousness if you build this habit of just 20 minutes a day. Enormous levels. I'm talking about 1,000 times or 10,000 times more awareness than the average person has. This is why people meditate. This is why meditation is so powerful. It's because it's like going from a microscope that has a 2x magnification lens to a microscope that has a 100,000 times magnification lens. It really is that big of a deal. But it's going to take some time to get to that 100,000 times magnification. So you need to stay disciplined. But the benefit to you of this kind of awareness and focus is going to be that, for example, in your work projects, in your creative endeavors, you're going to be able to sit down and just focus for an hour straight, no problems, without distractions. Imagine how much more powerful and more productive you're going to be if you can do that. Or if you're listening to your kids or you're listening to your spouse, imagine being able to fully listen to them, be fully present, and not be stuck in your own head. It's a powerful thing. You're also going to develop emotional mastery. This is perhaps the most important benefit of mindfulness practice. All those nasty emotions that you suffer from, that you don't know how to control and fix, for example, anger, fear, depression, loneliness, anxiety, frustration, annoyance, road rage, all this stuff that you experience, all this nasty stuff, all of this will melt away when you develop sufficiently high levels of mindfulness. It'll just naturally and effortlessly melt away because you're going to see it for what it literally is, and you're not going to get trapped in the emotional vortexes that are created by the mind. Very important. You can also use mindfulness to reduce suffering. Stuff like chronic pain, back pain. As you age, you are going to have all sorts of pains in your body. If you have medical conditions, if you ever need to go in for really severe and serious conditions like a cancer or a surgery, and you're going to have to be recuperating from all that, or physical injuries, right? All the suffering you experience, even the most sharp forms of physical pain that you would think you can't do anything about because they're just physical, right? Wrong. You can dissolve them all away with sufficient degrees of mindfulness. It's a very powerful thing. You can basically take the sting out of the most excruciating pains with sufficient mindfulness practice. Mindfulness is also powerful for increasing your fulfillment in life. So not only can you reduce suffering, but you can increase fulfillment. The more mindful you are, the more fulfillment you can get from your food, from your sex, from your success in business, from your interactions with people, from your holiday parties, from everything that you enjoy about life. Life is not just about getting these things and feeling happy. There's degrees of happiness. Imagine that you could sit down and eat a meal and experience 100 times more pleasure from that meal than you normally would, because now your mind is attuned, very finely honed, to see and feel and taste and smell every little morsel of that food. That's what's possible. And not just with food, but with every aspect of life. Even when you're just standing in line at the grocery store, waiting to pay your bill, you can experience feelings of rapture and joy and bliss just by being sufficiently mindful. And you don't have to be bored out of your mind like you usually are. Also, what you can do with mindfulness is you can do behavior change. So all those bad habits you have, like biting your nails and smoking, drinking, overeating, all these neurotic bad behaviors that you have, you want to change all these behaviors? Well, mindfulness will help you with all of that. These behaviors basically happen because you're running away from reality. As soon as you're able to resolve reality for what it really is, a lot of these behaviors will change effortlessly, automatically for you just by putting your focus and attention on them. Pretty cool. The other thing you can do is you can experience enlightenment, and you can discover the real existential nature of who and what you are and what life and what reality is through mindfulness. So what you can do is, if you take your mindfulness skills that you've developed, that 1000x magnification lens, and if you focus that lens on the label I, as in I or you, the way you call yourself in your mind, right? I call myself I. I think of myself as I. I think of myself as this being called me, Leo. But if what I do is I develop enough mindfulness and I shine that mindfulness, that awareness, on the label I, what will happen is that label will dissolve and I will see what I really is. And you can see that. And don't underestimate how profound of a vision and an insight that will be. If you ever experience I for what it really is, it's going to blow you away. It's going to knock your socks off. It'll change your entire perspective on life. It's that powerful. That's called enlightenment. That's called existential nature. That's called who and what you really are. That's called truth. And you can access that after years and years and years of mindfulness practice. So that's kind of like the ultimate level to where you can take this. So some really cool stuff. I hope this encourages you and creates the motivation in you to set up this habit, because now you have it all. Now you know how to do it. Go ahead and get started today. All right, this is Leo. I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this video with a friend. We need more people who are mindful. And lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. This is my website. I have a lot of free content on there. Go ahead and check it out. Sign up to my free newsletter. I release new videos on self-actualization topics every single week. Stuff from how to meditate better, how to develop mindfulness, how to develop better relationships, how to understand your mood and your emotions, how to master every element of your life so that you can create the most extraordinary life that you can. A life where you're passionate, where you're doing the greatest good, not for just yourself, but also for the world. And you can experience that level of rich fulfillment and satisfaction that you get when you're really on top of your game in life. That's what I want to help you to do, because I've been doing it for myself over the last 10 to 5 years. And man, it's had some powerful effects on the quality of my life. And I love sharing this information with you. There's a lot to share. Stick around every single week. Do the exercises, build the habits. You're going to start to see that just within a couple of years, your whole life will start to transform. So sign up, stay tuned, and I look forward to seeing you soon.